Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys with your host, Adam Emmert.
Is he half like cowboy, half Japanese? Nope. Like, who is this guy?
And Jared Tim.
Could you imagine John Elway riding Thunder? I love Thunder.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to A Flock of Donkeys, your Seahawks and Broncos podcast with a West Coast bias. I'm your co-host, Seahawks fan, and week one winner, co-winner, Adam Emmert. The man sitting across the table from me is the guy that can paddle a canoe, an inflatable canoe across the lake with 500 pounds of man and dog loaded down in it. Broncos fan, Jared Tim. How
Broncos
are you, my
fan
friend?
And real winner. Let's not understate that.
There's no real or fake winners. A win's a win.
Yeah, I guess that's what you have to say.
It's a winning podcast. Have to say. Whatever, man. Don't have to say shit.
Brandon even conceded the week one power rankings to us.
Yeah, although in the ESPN.com power rankings, they still had the Broncos below the Seahawks, which
we'll
I don't agree with that.
We'll get to that.
I don't, just based off that week's performance, but whatever.
And the thing about that is, who knows where these teams are going to be at in 8 weeks from now, but as far as who's the most polished team now, I think you could still leave the 49ers up there just because they were ranked ahead of us and they didn't do anything to lose that spot.
Yeah.
I just think we were more polished at this point. I think we deserve to be up there a little further.
Agreed. But yeah, like I said, we'll get to that. So today, folks, we're drinking the Boston Lager Oktoberfest. So stay tuned for the beer review here in the middle of the podcast.
Yep.
We'll get a little more into that. It is uber tasty. So we're enjoying that. Also, at the end of the pod, we're going to do our NFL picks and NFL segments. So stay tuned for that.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody who actually turned their picks in. It's getting competitive out there.
Yeah, there was actually quite a few folks. We ended up with a 7-way tie for first. So
that'll sort itself out eventually, and eventually I'll be on the top of that. So don't worry about it.
Yeah, you'll be in second. So I just wanted to, you know, tell Dan Hill, sorry, buddy, we're not going to be drinking coconut milk for this pod.
Still beer.
Yep, still beer. Thank God I was sweating bullets so towards the end there.
I've had coconut milk before, and it fucking sucks.
Yeah, it tastes like donkey balls.
I mean,
man.
I understand the whole nutritional value of it, but what a horrible tasting beverage.
No, but that was a good bet. So
thanks, Dan.
So for those of you who didn't make picks last time, get on A Flock of Donkeys on Facebook. It's D-O-N-K-I-E-S, so that's a good way to find it. I made a little Google form that you can enter your picks in on, and it's really
easy. You don't even have to touch the keyboard.
Yeah, it's just like 2 minutes. So
it's like, you know, a few mouse clicks away from submitting your picks.
Yeah, so when we're done recording this pod, I'll put up the week twos. And get those picks in. That was a lot of fun. And if you do want to make a little friendly wager with Jared and I,
and you end up winning the entire week, within reason, we will take that bet on.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. So Dan Hill's bet of drinking coconut milk, that was within reason.
We ought to make it so he can't actually put that bet up there again. He's got to come up with something different.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, you got to come up with something new.
Coconut milk is off the board.
Yeah. Bullet dodged.
I won't have to touch that shit till fucking next September.
Exactly.
Possibly.
Well, with all that there, I think we're actually going to get into a little bit of donkey spit first, since we went with chicken scratch first last time. And
since you had the
larger win by point margin, I think it's only fair. So,
yeah.
Jared, opening day of the NFL season against the defending Super Bowl champions, the Baltimore Ravens, and you spanked them down.
That was a big win for us. And I had talked to other Broncos fans after the game, and we were geeked out for days over that. You know, I mean, I don't think any of us realized that we were actually going to play that well in week one. You know, if you look at how we did in the first five games of last season, we struggled pretty mightily, actually, for five games. And then we finally figured it out. And so the main thing that I took away from this game is that we're about five games ahead of where we were last year.
You kind of picked up where you left off at the end of last year far as, you know, being crisp and all the receivers being on the same page. The offense looked really sharp. You know, Manning, obviously, you know, he played an okay game with seven touchdowns.
You know, it took us a while to get in the groove, but now it's, you know, all the players, if you listen to the interviews, they're talking about how this monkey is off their back.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there was so much built up to this whole revenge game, and we got to get this done. And now it's over. Now I think everybody can move on with the rest of the season. And it was nerve-wracking. I was so fucking nervous for that game. And now that it's over, it's just like, I can't imagine how much the players were sweating. I was sweating my nuts off there.
There were a lot of butterflies. You were definitely on edge going into that game.
That was a big game. You know, there's not a lot of these rivalry games that pop up from other divisions. You know, we played these guys 3 times in 9 months, and we lost to them in the playoff game, the one that really mattered. And so I think to come out here and send a message like that, they are still a quality team.
Yeah, they're all right.
And we spanked them.
You know, it was interesting that you guys trailed, you know, for much of the first half.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you definitely, that had you on the edge of your seat a little bit. But you never felt like the Ravens were going to pull away or that you weren't going to come away with this.
No.
It never had that feel to it. Baltimore looked exactly like I thought they would, like a team that's replacing legends. And, you know, there were problems out there.
There were some issues. They got some holes to fill. I think one of the main things, and this was, you know, Peter the Pie guy, he's a big Ravens fan.
Right.
And he goes, you know, the one thing that I took out of this game was that we got a lot of chemistry issues out there. And you could see it on defense. You could even see it on offense. And they will get better. I have no doubt that we'll see these guys in the playoffs again. No doubt
really?
About it. Who's going to beat them? Pittsburgh looks like shit. The Browns don't look any better. Cincinnati, maybe. But they're still a wild card team. We'll still play them in the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I don't know that one of those teams in the AFC North are ever going to win a game at this pace. They're all 0-1.
Shit. Holy crap. So the Ravens are in. I have no doubt we'll be seeing the Ravens again, man.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't feel that strongly about them. They looked exactly like I thought they would. Joe Flacco
was good.
Hedebo's good. Yeah, I mean.
You know, their defensive line was still great against the run.
I heard Terrell Suggs played in this game, but I didn't see him.
Yeah, he got a pretty good lick on Manning.
Well,
he got a pretty good lick. I think we contained him pretty well from the offensive side.
He contained everybody pretty well, although Elvis did get a sack.
He did, and that's fine for him.
Yeah.
But, you know, what does one sack do? We should have had 56 points in this game. You know, Danny Trevathan, of course, dropped the ball.
Well, yeah. You might want to hold on to the ball until you get into the end zone.
Yeah,
you know?
But, you know, these guys aren't used to being in the end zone.
That's true, yeah.
But I guess what I want to start with is the defense. I want to go over this Ravens game a little bit because some of this will translate into the next game against the Giants and kind of, you know, things to look for in this upcoming game. So. Yeah. One thing that I did notice is our defense, our linebackers are so fast and our corners tackle so well that we don't give up anything in the flats. We hardly gave up a single yard in the flats.
That's
and of course, Duke is flying all over the field, just busting everything up.
Holy nuts.
Which on the counter side of that, though, could leave him if he's a little too aggressive. I saw on one of those plays that he did leave a little bit early. So if there's a play action on there, he would have been toast on it. And so I know the Giants have looked at that. And Duke even in a Jim Rome interview, he talked about that too in his aggression. He goes, well, I left a couple of things open. And he goes, I need to work on that. And so he actually fully acknowledged that he could have got beat by the play action there. They just happened to be running the ball and then he blew it up. But hey, he did play awesome. He had 12 tackles. He led the team in tackles, man. He played fucking great.
Man, he was just flashing all over the field. He was somebody that was extremely impressive to me.
Yeah.
Unreal. There was that one play that when we rewatched the game and we went back and watched it three or four times where he was kind of down around the linebackers and was it a little swing pass out there or something?
Yeah, it was. It was a little screen pass.
And whoop!
The opposite. So he came from the opposite side of the field and completely blew up the play.
Yeah, his anticipation was amazing as well as his speed. I was unbelievably impressed to see that preseason success totally translated to the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Duke Iheanacho. He's the real fucking deal.
He's awesome.
Half cowboy, half Japanese. That guy gets it done.
One of the things that people aren't talking about as far as his vulnerability on maybe play action is that we have such good cover corners. Our linebackers cover well, too. And Raheem Moore's all over the field as far as coverage goes. So we can kind of let him do what he wants to. I mean, I saw some flashes of a little bit of Polamalu to where we just kind of let him take on the run.
Yeah.
That's kind of why we have him out there. So, you know, even if there is a play action, I don't think we'll get burned that bad just because Raheem Moore played well. He was in position all game. Our covers or our corners. I mean, Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie got thrown at once the entire game.
He had a super impressive game.
Yeah.
You guys didn't miss Champ one bit in this game.
I didn't think so either. I didn't think so either.
You know?
And he will only get better when he comes back just because of our depth. Because we did have to go with Kayvon Webster. And in the second half, the only touchdown that Flacco threw in the second half was against Kayvon Webster. And it was a tough route. You know, it's kind of one of those double cut out routes into the side of the end zone. So those are really tough to cover. And he's a rookie. So
you're going
to
get beat sometimes.
Yeah, you can't pick them all off.
No. So,
but I thought our linebackers were great in coverage. I thought our defensive tackles, other than maybe a handful of decent runs the entire game, we bottled them up. They had less than 60 yards rushing in this game.
Which was unbelievable. I mean, you think about that with Ray Rice back there. He's
their main threat. That's what opens it up for Flacco, and they couldn't get it going.
And they could not get it going. With that offensive line that's supposed to be relatively stout.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just the Ravens look very mortal. And Joe Flacco looked like regular season Joe Flacco to me.
I think a lot of that is true, but I think on the other hand, they were playing a really good defensive line. I mean, when you got Kevin Vickerson and Mount Knighton in there, you're not going to move these guys.
Yeah.
Sean Phillips had 2.5 sacks, and he showed that he's got the same ability he did when he was in San Diego. So Yeah, Duke. God, he just played awesome.
Holy cow,
he can't
man.
Understate his play.
Wow.
But our run D was great. You know, Wesley Woodyard, for being undersized, playing in the middle all game, he was all over the field, too. He was great in coverage. That guy has bailed us out of so many situations in the last 5 years. It's unreal. I'm happy as shit that we still have him around, man.
Sure.
We can move him anywhere in the linebacking set, and he just dominates out there. You can't block him. He's too quick. He can cover. He can get around blocks.
He's smart.
He's a really smart player, and he's really fast. So he's undersized, so if he does get blocked, he's going to get blocked, and he's going to be nowhere near the play. But yeah. The problem is blocking him.
Right.
And so, you know, like I said, the screen plays didn't work. Our safeties were in position all day. And one thing that I thought, actually, I got to give Baltimore a little credit here, is Flacco moved really well in the pocket, because we had some good outside presence there as far as our pass rush goes. And he would just step up, and he would, you know, he still had nowhere to throw the ball.
Right.
But I think his pocket presence is monumentally better than it has been in the last couple of years. He moved in the pocket better than I thought. When I went back and rewatched the game, I was like, damn, dude, he's actually got some good footwork. So,
yeah,
you know, for some stupid reason, any Ravens fans might be out there listening to this, I think you guys do have some hope, and I think we'll see you again. I mean, I don't think you guys were horrible. I think your defense was so winded in the second half. You know, once we got into a rhythm, there was no stopping it, and you guys were on the field the entire second half.
Right.
You know, there was Ladarius Webb. I thought he was going to fall over.
Yeah,
I didn't think he could breathe for a while out there. They show him, and he's just like, oh, my God, I thought he's going to die.
Well, being a mile high, it's tough.
It's tough out there.
Yeah.
Let's see what else about the defense. I think that's pretty much
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I mean, that
I
was
we
pretty
covered
good.
Everything.
Yeah, that was pretty inclusive there. Yeah, I mean, you just may need to, you know, clean up your shorts there, because you damn near jizz
you know,
talking
I'm,
about it there.
I'm talking fast. I can't even collect my thoughts. I'm excited. Just excited, man. This was awesome.
Yeah. Well, so moving on to the offensive side of the ball. Which you guys had an okay offensive day. I mean,
we did okay.
You know, it was fine.
It was a mediocre 49 points.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Demaryius Thomas, I think, is still running.
Oh, God. You know, when he caught that screen out there, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
Yeah.
Now, this is the third time on this play in as almost as many times as we've ran it. We've maybe run this play 5 times, and he's scored on a 70-plus yard touchdown.
Yeah.
On 3 of these.
Yeah.
And once he gets the ball, there's no catching him. He splits all the defenders, and he's gone. It was unbelievable. He had like 161 yards in this game.
Yeah, he's
most of them in the second half.
He's a legit monster.
And he will not drop the ball. And so, yeah, a couple things on offense that stood out to me was Noshon had a holding penalty to where this dude, I think it might have been Elvis or Suggs coming around the outside, was coming screaming fast. And you could tell Noshon's blitz responsibility was up the middle. That's where he was.
Ah.
He literally supermanned out to the dude, I can't remember exactly who it was,
yeah,
to hold him so he wouldn't hit Peyton Manning. And, you know, nobody's going to talk about this play, but it was one of the most athletic things I have ever seen.
Yeah.
But his, you know, his hard, patient running, I mean, you saw him freaking run over that dude over on the sideline, stayed standing. I think Noshon earned himself the right to start again.
Yeah.
If not for the you know, for as long as he's healthy for the rest of the season. I thought he played great.
Well, and you had kind of predicted that Noshon would be the starting back coming into this game for, you know, the numerous reasons, you know, mainly experience
and pass protection
and not fumbling the ball.
And he's got good hands.
Yeah, so
he's running hard.
I was excited to see how well Noshon played. That was a pretty impressive performance by him. He had a couple runs where you talked about patience, where, you know, he kind of just picked his way through the line a little bit and just eventually found the hole. And that's a mark of experience. That's the mark of somebody who no longer can be called no hole.
We did call him no hole in the beginning of his career because he would just hit it before anything would open up. And now he's allowing his offensive linemen to make the blocks, allowing everything to open up. And so I think his running was great. Ronnie Hillman coming out of the backfield. The problem with the way people are trying to cover us now with Demaryius Thomas and Julius Thomas, since these guys are so fast and they're stretching the field so much, is guys are playing as deep. So that leaves all these underneath patterns. You know, Wes Welker had 9 catches. But the thing I think people are really going to have to watch out for is Ronnie Hillman coming out of the backfield. He had a couple of catches that looked like they were going to go a long ways, and they went over 10 yards, and I think that's going to be a big-time threat for us, especially against the Giants, because I noticed the Giants were covering deep also in their secondary against, you know, Dez Bryant and Miles Austin. They were playing pretty deep, too, so I think that's something that could easily translate over. I think Welker's going to have another big game next week because of that also. And, you know, in the first half, we couldn't get much into a rhythm, because if you're noticing where Peyton Manning was looking, he was looking downfield. He really wanted to stretch the field. And there were a couple times, one to Eric Decker where he was a little late on a throw because he didn't want to check down. You could tell he wanted to go down the field. And we We came out of halftime, we made the adjustments, and then Peyton just picked them apart from there.
Well, the pace of the game completely changed in the second half. I really felt like the first half was played at Baltimore's pace.
It was.
And at, you know, when after halftime and a few different adjustments, you guys came out and really just put the pedal to the metal, and you played that high-speed, full-octane offense that everybody's been just jonesing to see.
And it happened.
It did, and that's when you saw Peyton Manning doing the things that he does best, and it was impressive. It really was.
Well, I heard one guy say, "Well, a surgeon doesn't need a machete," which means, you know, if you're gonna settle for these underneath routes, just take them and roll with it.
Yeah,
you know, and that's where we ended up killing him. I mean, except for Julius Thomas going up the seam. Good luck.
Holy cow.
Former basketball player, you want to cover him up the seams? I don't think so.
Yeah, Peyton kind of gushed about him a little bit in the post game.
Yeah. Well, it was impressive. He had a catch on the sideline where he stiff-armed a dude and ended up getting like a 25-yard gain, you know?
Yeah.
He played awesome. One of the things that did concern me, and I hope that he just got this out of his way.
was Clumsy Decker?
Eric Decker, the guy who does some clumsy things. I love Eric Decker just because if for some odd reason I was different physically and I were to be a professional football player,
right,
I would do clumsy, stupid shit. Like, that's what I would do.
Oh, without question.
Most of us would, you know?
I don't even know. Yeah, I'd be tripping over my own feet.
He gets shot by a sniper last year, which would have been a touchdown. He just does weird things.
He does do weird things.
And, you know, he had two easy drops. One should have been a touchdown in the back of the end zone. One was in the fourth quarter on a second down, which would have converted to a first down, which would have helped us run some more time off the clock, which doesn't matter because we gave the ball to the Marius and he ran the rest of the way anyways.
Right.
But he also had one pass interference call, which was questionable but looked bad because he had his arm around the back of the defender.
Yeah.
And so they called him on that, and, you know, people forgot about his fumble too.
Right.
So that's a bad game.
Yeah, no, he really struggled. And we talked a little bit about that after the game. So with that said, with Decker, I think this is just one of those little games that, you know, just kind of creeps up. You know, everybody has a clunker now and then. And that's one of those things that, you know, you get it out of your system. It's going to be just fine.
I hope so.
There's just no worries there. Plus, you have enough other weapons that even if Decker has a little mini slump or something like that, you're going to be just fine.
We'll be fine. And, you know, I think we compensated for his shitty game.
Yeah.
Maybe too much reality television for him. I don't know what had happened. But the entire game, him and Peyton.
Have you watched any of that, by the way, yet?
No.
Ugh.
I knew I was going. I said I was going to, but I don't have time for that shit.
I forgot all about it. I'm going to have to find that.
Now that the NFL's here, I don't have time to watch that.
That's true.
So, but Manning and Decker's, their timing was a little off the entire game also. You know, Manning missed him behind him.
Mm-hmm.
He underthrew him on an out route. And so I don't know what happened there, but I hope that, it's erased after this. They worked on it, and they'll just move on.
Yeah.
So let's see what else. Oh, Demaryius Thomas's juke on those three guys after. That was a serious juke, man.
It was like a jab step and then just whoop to the left. And
he's
around
so fast that they thought they could get him to the sideline, but he ended up going an extra 15 yards because they couldn't catch him.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
And let's not forget that whole drive there came because they didn't challenge that Welker catch.
Wow.
How do you miss that?
You know, that's one of those things where, apparently John Harbaugh said that NBC never showed a replay in time for them to make a challenge.
Throw that fucker anyways.
Bullshit, they didn't show a replay. I remember both of us saying they should freaking challenge that.
We got it on the television before the offensive line even lined up.
Right. So
how are we getting it and they didn't?
Right, exactly. And that's one of those things where I don't know if it's a communication issue or what the deal is, but holy nuggets, that's something you got to freaking challenge.
Well, and you know we're going to get up to the line of scrimmage as fast as we can because we have an inkling that that's not going to be a completed catch. Just throw the flag. This is a big game. That was one of the parts where this game really turned and it got out of hand for them. So if they would have challenged that play, things would have been a little bit different. We still would have won the game, but it may not have been a blowout at that point, you know?
Right.
So
no, that seemed to really put kind of the nail in the coffin for them a little bit. It just all kind of unraveled.
It totally unraveled.
Yeah.
And I guess that's pretty much it for the offense that I saw. You know, our protection was great. Manny got hit a couple of times, but I think Baltimore's still a good defense. I think they got a decent pass rush on us a couple of times.
Yeah.
Another thing is our special teams figured it out. I was really worried about our special teams.
Well, short of the Welker fumble.
Well, that was. But David Bruton, you know, the blocked punt, I thought our coverages were well, you know, and it helps when every kickoff goes through the end zone for us. But
right.
I thought our special teams was a lot better other than the Welker thing.
Yeah, the Welker thing, that's, again, one of those fluky things. I mean, you put him back there because he's the sure-handed one,
right?
He's
the possession punt returner.
Right? But
yeah.
Why? Here's something I can't understand. Why the hell do you ever try to catch a ball inside the 7-yard line?
That's inside the 10. Just
right.
Let them all go.
Just let them all go.
It's ridiculous. I don't know if, because he's been doing it in practice. He's been fielding punts in practice. So how do you not just line up on the 10-yard line and you're like, oh, if I have to take a couple steps back,
let it go.
I should just run forward and let this ball
go. This is something that drives me absolutely nuts in the NFL.
It happens a lot.
Golden Tate did it a bunch of times in the Hawks game where he's catching it. And, you know, he made something out of nothing a couple times,
yep.
But Jesus, just let the fucking ball go. Like, you have higher odds of getting to the 20 by just letting it go, and you don't risk a fucking turnover.
Well, not only that, but you saw throughout the whole entire NFL, there were muffed punts, people getting hit by balls.
Yep.
You know, a ball.
Yeah, you don't want to get hit by balls.
It's a good old fashioned mollywomp. But I mean, the ball would bounce up, hit off a dude's arm, and then you lose possession of the ball. The ball should have been yours, and you lose it. Like, why are people fucking up punts so bad?
I don't know.
Stay away from the ball.
Just exactly. God. And I understand the oblong ball takes odd bounces.
Sure.
But Jesus, just...
If you're not within 10 yards, you ought to be able to dodge it. I play dodgeball. I can dodge a football.
Duck and weave.
Yeah.
Duck and weave. Do
Jeez,
something.
It's not coming 100 miles an hour at you.
Fuck no, it's not. God. So,
That's pretty much all in the Baltimore game that I wanted to talk about.
Yeah, which seems like forever ago now.
Thursday. God, it was a long time ago, wasn't it?
It was.
It was 6 days ago at this point. And it seems like we just got over week one. Well, it was Monday.
Yeah. So, going into the Giants game. Let's move
to the East Coast.
Yeah, let's get a little bit into the preview here. So you got the Giants. You're in the Meadowlands, or the new Meadowlands, or MetLife Stadium, whatever the fuck
whatever
they call that
is.
Trash heap.
Yeah,
where the Super Bowl will be played. But
I like the cold weather Super Bowl, though. I am a fan of that.
Me too, actually. I think that's going to be fucking
Thank
badass.
God. Yeah, I think that's cool.
Because weather is a part of football. It always has been, always will be, unless everybody switches to a dome, which would be fucking gay. Don't do that.
I hate watching dome games.
Dude.
It's lackluster.
It's always lackluster. I don't know what it is. There's something about being in the open air that makes football, you know, rock and roll. So
I want to see a game played at Soldier Field or at Lambeau.
Big time.
That would be awesome, man. What could be better than that?
Just being at the clink.
Oh, fuck. Let's move on.
Okay. So you're heading in there. Manning Bowl 2.0.
And Peyton's won the last two matchups here.
Well, you know, his forehead is larger, so that means he should win.
He's got a bigger football brain.
He's got a bigger...
That's fine with me.
Yeah.
But
Eli's got a better rap career going right now with the DirecTV rap. He was better in that. You got to admit that. He was pretty damn good in that.
I only watched it once, so I don't really know.
Huh? Well, have an opinion already. Jesus.
Peyton. Peyton's my opinion.
Figured you'd say
when
that.
When is Peyton not my opinion? Plan A. When John Elway asks him, what's plan B? He goes, it doesn't matter. We're going with plan A.
Yeah.
So a couple things that stand out is Prince Amakamura, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a good corner. But he's concussed in this game, so he might not even play. He might not even play.
Yeah.
So
you can just call him Prince because, you know, there's another Prince that goes just one name.
Well, and one of the problems with him being out is he's a decent tackler, too. And one thing that I saw with the Giants is they did not cover the flats worth a shit. That was one thing that they gave up all game long.
Well, Romo kind of had a big game against them.
He had a big game, and a lot of it was to the flats. He went deep a couple of times, but most of it was definitely over the flats and underneath, too. Their linebackers are not good in coverage. And so that's where, if you're a Giants fan, you got to be worried about these matchups on Julius Thomas, Ronnie Hillman coming out of the backfield, maybe Eric Decker, Wes Welker underneath. I think they've got some big holes in their defense. Now, I don't think they're going to fold. I think they've got a decent pass rush. JPP played, he had a mediocre game to me. I thought Justin Tuck actually played pretty well.
Yeah.
I thought he played better.
Well, they have talent on that defensive line.
They do have talent.
Just like you mentioned with their linebacking core and, you know, with Prince being out and...
Potentially,
you know,
I think Prince is going to be out. They haven't come out.
Yeah, well, either way, even if he does play, there's no way they match up with your guys' offensive weapons. And
I don't think
your
so
offensive weapons are nothing like the Dallas Cowboys. That is overrated talent if I've ever seen it in my life.
I think Dez Bryant's overrated. They think he's a top five guy.
What'd they score, 37 points on him?
Yeah.
Something like that, the Cowboys? Well, guess what? Broncos are going to score about that much, and there is no way that the Giants' offense keeps up with that.
I think our offense, with the speed that we have, and also the size, there's no way that these guys are even a decent matchup for us. I mean,
no.
their linebackers just can't cover it. And if they want to go into a nickel or dime package, I don't think they have the defensive tackles to contain our run game either. Now, we didn't show much of a run game against the Ravens because Peyton Manning just started airing it out in the second half. We didn't feel like it.
Well, that's the focus of your guys' offense. You're never going to be a run-first team or a run-heavy team.
And against Baltimore, I mean, Baltimore's defensive tackles, they're okay. You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Not a guy.
You're not going to run over him.
You're not going to run it over him.
But the Giants don't have that either.
No,
you know, they don't have that player that's going to bottle up the run. So if they want to go into a nickel or a dime, I think we'll be okay with that.
Oh, without question. I really believe that you guys are going to manhandle them. And
I hope so. Yeah, it is a long ways to travel, and it's a long road game, and you can't count Eli Manning out ever.
It's the home opener for the Giants, blah, blah, blah. But, yeah, I can count out Eli Manning when it's the regular season. he's honestly Joe Flacco 2.0 to me, or the original Joe Flacco. You know, that it's the exact same guy, where sometimes in the regular season he's good, sometimes he's not. But in the playoffs, fucking money. And
they had a chance to win this game. And since they're running back
with six turnovers.
Yeah, well, they had numerous chances. They had seven chances to win this game.
Right.
But their running backs are a gigantic mess.
That Wilson kid was a dumpster fire
out
there.
And he got benched, and rightfully so.
And then they brought in Brandon Jacobs and
Willis.
Willis McGahee for a tryout.
Yeah, they didn't sign him, though.
No?
And I'd rather have Willis over Brandon Jacobs.
Brandon Jacobs was done 5 years ago.
At least.
And Willis had a productive season last year,
so
I don't understand
that. Yeah,
what part
of Brandon Jacobs even scares the Broncos?
And not only that, with Brandon Jacobs' history with the Giants, why the hell would they bring him back? He had no love for Tom Coughlin when he left.
No, and if he actually does get playing time in this game, I don't see why we're not going to blitz the crap out of him, because he's not going to pick up a blitzer. He's not going to pick up a quick, fast blitz. Brandon Jacobs hasn't been able to do that for at least 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
He's not quick enough on his feet to be able to pick up these blitzers. So he's nothing. I'm not worried about him at all. The thing that I am a little bit worried about with their offense is Eli and his receivers, their chemistry was not on the mark in the first half, and that was easy to tell. But in the second half, they really cleaned it up, and they started to turn it on. The six turnovers, I will not expect them to have six turnovers in this game. They also had that chance to win the game in the fourth quarter, and the running back, who right after he gets passed Eli Manning, he's supposed to turn around and look for the ball. He was way up by the line of scrimmage before he even turned to look at the ball. He throws his arm up there at the ball. It gets tipped off of him, picked off. They run it back for a touchdown.
Yeah.
Those are the kinds of things that I don't expect to happen this week.
No, they're not going to have six turnovers again. That's just not going to happen.
I wouldn't think so.
No.
But another thing that I saw was their offensive lineman couldn't stop a high school player. Yo, they couldn't pick up a blitz. Eli Manning was pressured most of the game. They couldn't get anything going in the run game either, when they weren't fumbling.
Yeah.
So I'm not worried about their offensive line whatsoever. I don't think they'll run the ball against our defensive tackles at all. I think we'll have a decent pass rush. And you know, they do rely a lot on underneath routes and the deep ball. In the middle of the field is where we're really, really good, because we have good coverage linebackers and our safeties can play really well in coverage.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some shutdown corners. So if you're going to try and rely on the flats and the deep ball, I just don't know if that's a safe bet against our defense.
Well, especially when you're not going to have the ball a ton, because you guys are just going to be marching all over him.
Mm-hmm.
I really think that at the end of the day, that offensive line for the Giants is like you said,
it's not good enough.
I mean, maybe high school. And Eli has been, throughout his career, blessed with a pretty good offensive line, and it's something that he's relied on. Man, you can't just sit and put it all on Eli's arm. They're just outgunned in this game.
And that's what they're going to do this game. And I know you can't count Eli out, because I think he is a really, really good quarterback.
I think he's pretty good.
He could keep them in the game. But just talent-wise, when I watch both these teams, even not as a Broncos fan, if I were to just sit here and analyze these two teams, we have more talent than these guys.
Oh, it's clear.
And so I think we should win this game.
Yeah.
You know, even on the road against it's a quality Giants team. I mean, they should have blown out the Cowboys minus those six turnovers. They should have destroyed the Cowboys.
Well, everybody should destroy the Cowboys.
I think you and I both agree that they're just a shit team.
Yes.
I think Tony Romo's good. He took another freaking hit to the ribs, too.
Oh, man.
And continued to play. He's tougher than I thought a couple
Romo's
years ago.
Romo's tough as fuck. He is. That dude is fucking tough as fuck.
Yeah, and I know a lot of people hate him, but man, over the years, he's taken some shots. He's broken his collarbone. He's played with a punctured lung.
Yeah.
Like the dude, he's as tough as Ben Roethlisberger any day, I think.
Oh, yeah, and he doesn't talk about it, too.
He'll never talk about his injuries. They don't talk about his injuries. The coaching staff doesn't. The trainers don't. Nobody does.
Yep.
And so as far as our matchup against the Giants, that's kind of what I see as far as their defense and offense. I just I think we outmatch them, especially with our style of play, because they do give up those underneath routes.
Yeah.
Which, you know, with Welker and Manning, we're going to thrive on that.
Yeah.
And I think we'll be able to run the ball a lot better against these guys, because I think they're a lot worse against the run than the Ravens were.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we win this game.
I do, too. Okay. Do you have a final score prediction on this, actually? Just an idea?
I would.
You don't have to. I just like throwing those out there.
I know you do.
Yeah.
Put me Johnny on the spot.
Uh-huh.
So I think it would be, let's go 34-17.
Okay, I was going to go 27-10 Broncos.
Oh, we'll score more than that.
I don't know.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah. All right, 27 points is a lot of points.
27 points is a lot. It ain't no 49, but.
ain't no 49, that's for sure.
But, you know, that's what I saw from last week, and that's what I'm looking for this coming week.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Well, cool. Well, with all of that there, we're going to go ahead and review the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest beer coming up next here. So stay tuned for that. Once again, I'll just let everybody know that you can always interact with the show. Maybe give us a beer that you would like us to review. You can write in an email, afodpodcast@gmail.com. A couple of you folks have started to use that, so that's really great.
And I'm all about trying new beers, too. So suggest some that just for us to try leisurely.
Yeah.
Recreationally.
Yeah, because you know? We drink beer outside the pod, too. Believe it or not. Yeah, here and there. So stay tuned, folks. We'll be right back with the beer review.
All right.
Welcome back, folks. It's time for the beer review. We are drinking the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. Jared is just re-drinking a little bit of it there as he belches one up there. This is a tasty beer. We said we were going to get into the fall beers a little bit more here since it, you know, was fall and shit.
Yeah, it was brought to our attention that we need to come up with some beers that are more accessible to everybody.
Yeah, actually, Josh Kays from Southwest Washington, you know, wrote in, said he enjoys the beer review segments, which is awesome because...
but he couldn't find them.
Well, yeah, and that's problematic. And so we're going to try to review beers that maybe are a little more readily available sometimes. We're still going to drink the beer we want. I'm not going to fucking lie. But
yeah.
What thing are you talking about? One thing that I would like everybody to do is literally write in with some beer suggestions, things that you'd like us to review. We'd like
beers you just like us to try, because I'm all about trying new beers, especially seasonal ones.
Exactly.
I'm a big
seasonal
guy.
We actually have a few places here in Missoula that have a very, very diverse selection of beer. So if you think it's something that we might not be able to find, I bet you we can get it at Warden's.
Yeah, Warden's will have it. Paddy Creek Market will probably have it.
Or Orange Street Food Farm.
So if you guys have some remote ones that you'd like us to maybe try, or like, hey, man, if you guys like good beers, you should try this out.
Right.
You know, there's a good chance that we'll be able to get it.
Yeah.
So
again, today, Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. Apparently, it is 5.3 by alcohol percentage. So, you know, right in the mid-range there.
Yeah. You can drink several.
Yeah, you can drink several. It's tasty. They say they use 5 roasted malts, which
it
gives it a rich, hearty flavor, while the Bavarian noble hops add a touch of bitterness. And you know how I feel about hoppy beer.
I love your hoppy beer.
I do. I like a little bit of that bitter, but I can't stand that German skunky beer shit. And that's
I do.
Something you like.
I do.
Yeah, but you this know, isn't in that vein.
The Oktoberfest beers is one thing that when I first started getting into microbrews, I went from summer beers right to winter beers.
Right.
And this was before I'd really honed in my taste for the seasonal stuff.
Sure.
And within the last couple of years, I started drinking Oktoberfest, and they are some of my favorite seasonal beers, man. Oktoberfest beers are so good. You know, Bayern right down the street from here, it's a local brewery for us, but it's the best Oktoberfest I've ever had. And you know, a lot of you guys won't have access to that very much, but if you ever do, boy.
Holy buckets, that's a good fucking beer. Man. I'm not going
to
lie.
And I try to wait till September to start drinking Oktoberfest beers just so I don't overdo it with them. And I go up to the checkout counter, the Orange Street Market down the street from where I live, and I pop up some Bayern Oktoberfest. And I was like, oh, yeah. And the checker guy goes, oh, dipping into the Oktoberfest, huh? I was like, yeah, man, I'm waiting until September. He goes, dude, it's still August.
Shit. It was like August 31st.
But this Sam Adams Oktoberfest is good, and I love Oktoberfest beer, so it hits my taste buds just nice.
Yeah, especially for a larger brewery, Sam Adams puts out a few good beers. It's a brewery that I have a lot of respect for. When we watched that documentary, Beer Wars, they talked a little bit about Sam, is it Koch or
Jim
Koch?
Koch, I think. I think it's Jim Koch.
Yeah.
Is that like their brewmaster?
Yeah. Or the dude that started the whole thing. And Yeah, good guy.
It's
good
a respectful brewery. Especially like you said, the size of their brewery. I mean, you know, their Boston Lager's really good. Their cream stout's good. They got a lot of good beers, and this is one of them.
One of the cool things they do is they make their six-pack holders really tall so that it blocks the light out to keep the beer more fresh.
Yep.
I think that's pretty fucking awesome there.
Genius.
But yeah, this beer, you know, it's kind of that deep red amber color, which is good. It's a hearty beer. I really enjoy this, even though I tend to like the lighter beers, but holy buckets, this is good.
What is it on the drinkability
scale? That was my next question.
For the females?
For the chicas?
I think it would be about 7.5.
Oh, okay. I was going to go
7?
6. Okay.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, Oktoberfest, maybe it's just because I've been drinking them for a while. They're not a hearty beer to me anymore. Mm-hmm. They're kind of that transition from summer to winter,
sure.
So they're right somewhere in the middle.
I could give you a 7.
You
I mean,
may be
yeah.
right.
I was kind of debating.
Let's go 6 or 7, how about?
Yeah. Yeah, 6.5 drinkability scale for the chicas.
Yeah, ladies, try it.
Yeah, you should.
See what you say.
Absolutely. And yeah, if
We'd
you
love
find
to hear
out,
your rating.
Yeah, if any of you guys, you know, have an idea of where this falls on the drinkability scale, let us know too through an email, afodpodcast@gmail.com. You know, toss that in there. But yeah, pretty good beer all the way around.
It's a good beer also for when you're sitting around a fire.
Yeah, kind of like we did this weekend up at...
Oh, man, we made some awesome food.
Yeah, up at Lake Alva, yeah.
That was good stuff.
That was good stuff. Good. Were you and Jersey Fred and his giant pit bull Lucky got out in Fred's inflatable canoe and teetered around the lake.
Yeah, we decided to go up and do some fishing this weekend.
What's the weight limit for that canoe?
And 500 pounds, and we are maybe a little bit over that.
Because what? You're like a $195, 205 somewhere?
Fred's 225, and Lucky, his giant teddy bear pit bull is about 100 pounds. And so we wanted to get across to the other side of the lake because there's some nice holes over there. So we're heading out there, just two big men and a pit bull on a freaking inflatable kayak. But that thing was durable, man. We caught some fish. It was good.
It's fucking hilarious watching you guys row back because for whatever reason, it doesn't perform well with that much weight in
it. It's horrible with
over
500 pounds.
You would take a row and the front end would go like left and then Fred would take a row and the whole thing would twist right. And you guys just did like half, like little quarter circles all
you
the
know,
way back.
I would say in about a 1,000-yard span of when we were out on that freaking boat, we tried every steering tactic possible, and nothing worked. Man, all you're doing is just fighting against yourself. You're like, fuck it, man. Let's just try and get to the other side of the lake and let the wind take us down because nothing was working.
So when I went down to the lake edge, because after I napped and got some firewood ready and all that, went down to the lake edge to see where the hell you guys were. And, you know, a tiny boat out across the lake, and you couldn't really see anything. But you know how I located you, Jared? I hear, from all the way across the lake.
I mean, it got to the point where it was a little frustrating trying to steer this thing, you know? I mean, you're done fishing. You're like, all right, let's go back and drink and eat and, you know, have a merry time. And you're like, but we can't fucking get back to the other side of the lake.
Right.
Lucky's just like, why are we doing this, guys? Why are we in this boat again?
He's like, fuck. So I think the lesson learned here, Jared, is that you don't take two dudes in the inflatable canoe.
You don't exceed the weight limit.
You take dude and chica, and then you go to the other side of the lake.
Yeah, even though chica wants to go fishing. Like, you'd be like, sorry, I'm gonna leave you at the camp.
Lots of chicks like to fish.
Oh, well, there are, but none that I know.
Well, that's true.
I mean, let's just be frank about it.
I
don't know a lot of chicks who fish.
Yeah.
I know them as acquaintances, but I don't have a lot of good friends or anything like that, you know, females that want to fish, which was why there were three dudes in a big pit bull camping this weekend.
Sounds like a sitcom title.
But I guess in my defense, what I wanted to do this week, you know, we went to a brew fest on Friday,
mm-hmm.
which was really good.
Holy shit, there were so many good beers. To kind of get back to beer a little bit.
Good beers, eye candy, all sorts of stuff. But when I go into something that social with a big crowd, I'm not a social butterfly. So one social day for me, man, and I gotta leave town.
Yeah,
so.
get away from the masses.
Yeah.
But brew fest was amazing. There
was fun.
There was so many good beers. I couldn't believe it. I tried one. It was an orange, what was it? Blood orange IPA that
I wasn't a fan.
It was a very, very sweet beer, but like for one or like a dessert beer, that was really good.
Yeah, there were some good beers. There was a good porter.
And that was the turning point for me on that night because after that, I was fucking hammered.
we do throw some pretty killer brew fest here in Missoula.
Yeah.
And we got one coming up at the end of this month also. That's the Montana Brewers Association Brew Fest, which I think this is maybe the fifth year they put it on.
Yeah.
But this is my favorite brew fest just because Montana really... Yeah, the whole Northwest really has some of the best beers. We do, and we get a lot of those during our brew fest.
Oh, speaking of which, CenturyLink was just rated the number one stadium in the nation for microbrews and their beer selection and best stadium to drink a beer in.
I can't say I'm surprised.
Yeah.
I bet number two would be Denver.
Actually, they didn't even make the top five.
What? Oh, they're in Anheuser-Busch country down there. Yeah. You know, Colorado does have a lot of really good breweries. Coors. Yeah, Coors. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Colorado's got a lot of good breweries, too. But I'm kind of biased towards the Pacific Northwest, man. Yeah. I think we got better beers than anybody.
Yeah, for sure. Well, cool. Well, I think that's everything we got to say about the beer in our entertaining weekend. We're going to come right back here with some chicken scratch, so
yep,
stay tuned, folks. Alrighty, we're back, folks. Time for the absolute best part of this show, the chicken scratch segment.
Third best.
First best.
Maybe even fourth at this point, because you got the Broncos.
Dude,
you got the
you don't know how to rate shit. Who do you think you are over there, Siskel and Ebert? You don't know.
Something like that.
Yeah. So, Hawks play the Carolina Panthers down in Carolina. It was a tough game, but they
Schlobberknocker.
It was a schlobberknocker for sure. But they win 12, and I think that was in tribute to all of us 12th man fans.
Was that in the bottom of the ninth?
No. Oh. That was at the end of the fourth quarter when they won, Jared. 12-7. The defense flat dominated in this game. They actually played really well, holding Cam Newton to something like 125 passing yards.
163 total.
Yeah.
Too. So kept him under 200 yards. That was impressive.
That is very impressive. I really, really liked the way the defense played. Kind of coming into this, you wondered how this team is going to start out, especially in a game where it's hot, you're on the road, it's a 10 a.m. start. They have that home opener energy, which is freaking huge.
Well, you just mentioned the heat. What was it like? 60% humidity and it was 90-some degrees down there? I mean, that's just something we don't experience up here.
And they made us wear the dark unis for that game. And on top of all that, when you play a team like a Carolina Panthers team that's relatively thin on talent, maybe their starters are good.
But their depth lacks.
When you play them in game one, they have all of their starters available for the most part. Mm-hmm. And so you're playing them at full strength with the heat, the humidity, the energy, all that in that dreaded 10 a.m. road start. Hawks came out, first couple drives were a little flat, but, penalties, a drop pass by Marshawn, it was just a little rough, a little ragged to kind of get going, but, at no point was I concerned over those first two drives.
And, I don't think anybody really was. If any Seahawks watching the game, I was, of course, talking shit because that's what I do.
Yeah.
But at no point did I think you guys were going to lose this game. I mean, yeah, maybe you started out a little sloppy, but I think you also got to give a little bit of credit to Carolina's defense, too.
Yeah.
And you guys contained them really well. So I think it was a combination of maybe you guys were a tiny bit sloppy, but I think Carolina had a decent game plan prepared.
They had a decent game plan. A lot of people have made a huge deal out of their defensive line against our offensive line and how much our offensive line struggled. I think that is true when you talk about the running game. I think it is much less true when you talk about the passing game. A lot of the pressure that Russell was under wasn't exactly because they were immediately in the backfield.
It was coverage.
He was holding on to the ball, and it was because of coverage. So that's one of those things. I wasn't as down on the pass protection as a lot of people were. But in the run game, that was a little disconcerting.
Yeah, but there's a lot of teams that struggled with the run this week.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's one thing that you know how to prepare for coming into week one is you've seen what the running game is going to do. You know these coaching styles of a run game. So that's the one thing you can certainly prepare for. You can't prepare for some of the play action stuff, some of the routes that they're going to be running. So I think as far as week one goes, the running game is one of the only things that you can plan for defensively.
Yeah.
The one thing that I thought their defensive line did really well, and I saw the Packers defensive line do the same thing, is how to contain a quarterback who can run. Is when these defensive ends, they never get deeper than the quarterback. Once they do, they hit the brakes and turn in. So it doesn't allow these big, huge running lanes to come up. So I think when you look at the Carolina's defensive line and the Packers' defensive line as far as how they played Colin Kaepernick, I think they kind of put together a model on how to contain these guys in the pocket. But when you're playing a Russell Wilson, a lot of that doesn't really matter. He still had, 320 yards?
Yeah, he still had 320 yards.
So you got to give them credit for how they handled him on his legs. I think they put a model together on how to contain a quarterback like that on his feet.
Yeah, and you saw the Seattle defensive line do the exact same thing against Cam Newton.
The exact. So it's almost like everybody took an offseason to figure that out.
Yeah.
It's like, you're going to beat us from the pocket or you're not going to beat us.
Exactly.
And Russell Wilson beat him.
And that's the difference. And, we talked about it in the preview last pod that the difference between Russell Wilson and Cam Newton is Cam Newton will never be a polished pocket passer.
Yeah, I think his ceiling is lower than Russell Wilson's. And I'm not just saying that because I like the Seahawks a little bit more than I like the Panthers. But, just as watching football for the game of it, Russell Wilson, he's going to be a great pocket passer one of these days.
Yeah,
I think he already is, actually.
He's a very good one. He's not a great one yet.
Yeah, but he will be. It's early in his career. Cam Newton.
Oh, he already is better than Cam Newton from the pocket. You saw it. I mean,
yeah.
After he started 1-for-5, he was on a fucking tear from that point forward.
Yep. And, some of that, it's week one. Maybe it's a little bit of jitters when you're seeing these first teams. And Carolina was ready to go. It was hot as shit and humid. So, yeah. But defensive lines, I think, have figured out how to contain the wheels on these quarterbacks.
Yeah. So once we kind of got past those first two drives, we started moving the ball with a little more success. They really, with just a little more rhythm, just a little more pace. Russell started throwing the ball with a little bit more accuracy. Guys started making catches. It was just good to see. I felt like the offense played a pretty decent game all the way around, although we did give away points on that last drive in the second half where we're marching right down their throats, and Russell holds on to the ball for quite a while there, and he ends up with a strip sack.
Yeah, that was kind of tough to see because that's one of those things where you saw him do it last year, and it's just time to get rid of the ball and maybe not try to run around so much. Maybe just throw the ball away.
Well,
throw it away.
That's one of those things where that's a characteristic of Russell Wilson's play.
Ain't going away.
It's not going away. He was the quarterback that held onto the ball the longest in the NFL last year. And that's a characteristic of his play. But when he does do it, more often than not, good comes out of it rather than bad. You're going to have some bad, though.
And when it does go bad, though, it's like a 12 to 15 yard loss when he does that. So, in your opinion, him holding on to the ball that long, is that him knowing he can rely on his legs? Is he not seeing open receivers? What's the deal there?
I don't think it's a matter of not seeing open receivers. He showed it to you in this game. I mean, he completed the majority of these passes from the pocket, and he's seeing the receivers just fine. I think part of it is initial separation on a lot of routes and things like that. I don't know that Sydney or Golden are guys that, create a lot of quick separation. I mean, Golden maybe does to a degree.
But Sydney Rice is more of a guy who can stretch the field and go up top.
Yeah,
some back
find a hole in the zone. Yeah, that sort of thing. I think that's part of it. Also, I think Russell's always going to go through all of his reads if he can. He's one of those guys that's not going to give up after one read or two reads. If one guy's not there or two, he's going to go through check three, check four, and that's going to make you hold on to the ball a little longer. Like a Colin Kaepernick, he only goes through 1 to 2 reads.
And then he takes off. Yeah.
So I think that's a little bit of the reason why he ends up holding on to the ball as long as he does. Also, he knows he just makes fucking sick plays when he does that too.
Well, and with Colin Kaepernick too, he's got Vernon Davis and Anquan Boldin to throw to. So he goes through those two guys and then he's done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it.
Just over. The penalties were a bit of a story in this game. We ended up with 9 penalties for 109 yards.
You don't want to go the length of the field with the flag.
No. But, one person I want to give a little credit to is Breno Giacomini.
No personal fouls.
And no personal fouls. And not only that, but he's the guy that took the punch from the Alexander Cat from the Panthers, where he just rocked him in the head and he ends up getting ejected. Giacomini didn't do shit. He kept his composure. I can't believe that. That's coming from the mafia side of the line. And he didn't come back with a retaliatory hit.
I still don't believe that he didn't retaliate. I know what I saw, and I know he didn't retaliate, but I don't believe that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that actually happened.
I don't believe it.
But apparently it did. The one guy that was a little disconcerting on the penalties was Mike Person. He was in the game for 3 plays, ended up with 2 penalties, back-to-back, no less. He's supposed to be our run-blocking tight end de facto.
Take a seat.
There's one thing that infuriates me more than anything is when a Montana State Bobcat is fucking up shit for my team.
That's an inside job.
As a University of Montana Grizzly graduate.
Go Bobcats.
Yeah, fuck the Bobcats. God, fucking pussies.
Yeah.
That don't fuck up. Okay, I can root for you if you're a Montana kid. I get it. There's part
but
of
don't
that.
Don't fuck up my NFL team.
But don't do Bobcat things on my NFL team, okay? So
I'm okay with it.
Yeah, I'm sure you are. So, Mike Person, do better just a little bit there. That was kind of my impressions from the first half, other than the defense just, especially the secondary, just playing lockdown coverage. Sherman had that.
Yeah, Cam Newton didn't have many places to go. You know, they rambled off a couple of decent runs, but yeah, every team is going to do that every game.
Yeah, you know, Sherman dropped that pick early in the game. He's literally like damn near crying on the sidelines, you know, on the ground.
At least he didn't drop it before the goal line.
That's true. So that was good stuff there, I thought, as far as the coverage goes, except for against the tight ends. And this is something that I think is going to haunt us all fucking season. Greg Olsen
could be an issue.
If Greg Olsen grew a fair pair of fucking catching gloves and put them on, like, and just like it caught the ball, he would have fucking torched us in this game.
It might have been a different game at that point.
He dropped two or three big balls there. But so, you
know, who's got three? Like, what was he, born in a sewage pit?
Yeah, man. He's like, Jesus. Yeah. He's a little mutant.
Hey,
out there.
Dallas Clark dropped one against us. Chris Harris had
well,
a nice
Dallas
pick,
Clark is 99 years old.
That guy had a rough game, didn't he? I didn't even want to talk
like,
about
what,
that.
What did Peter the Pie guy say about Dallas Clark there, like something about. Oh, I thought he said he shouldn't even be on an NFL roster.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's what he did say. Yeah, and so he's right. Yeah, you know, I think he's regretting it at that point too.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, as far as the first half goes, it was a little disappointing. You know, down 7-3 at halftime, we end up with the ball coming in the second half, end up kicking a field goal, getting 7-6. We move the ball with efficiency in the second half, and that's what I like to see. Defense continued to shut shit down. You only saw the one touchdown given up. And I think that was the one time where you saw that we missed Brandon Browner a little bit in the game. It was that third down play down near the goal line. And they throw a little flare pass out to Steve Smith. And Byron Maxwell comes up and misses the tackle. Old man strength Brandon Browner doesn't miss that tackle.
Yeah.
They're kicking a field goal there.
Well, and even in the beginning of the game, I think it was Thurman who got that pass interference call, right? Right in that first drive that they had against you guys.
Thurman actually graded out really poorly in this game.
Yeah, and that's when I'm like, missing Browner, huh?
Yeah.
When's he going to be back, by the way? Do you know?
I think he'll be back this week.
Good.
Yeah.
I mean, it's, you know, your defense still played well without him, but you're that much better with him.
Well,
he's a
so.
Matchup problem for a lot of receivers.
Well,
he's a monster.
That's the guy we're going to need on Anquan Boldin.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, that's exactly what
that's
I
tell
about.
You what, because that guy's found the fountain of youth. Yeah. You know, I saw him make some good route running. But Anquan, he's not going to drop a pass because he's got strong hands. I've always liked Anquan Boldin. Unfortunately, he plays for the 49ers.
Yeah.
I hate the 49ers. Not as much as you do, but I still hate him.
Yeah, exactly. So then, you know, we end up with the offensive drive where we score the touchdown in the fourth quarter there. Russell Wilson made a beautiful pass to Steven Williams on the play before the touchdown, and the guy just couldn't reel it in. That was a tough catch to make, though. That was a tough catch to make, but those are the ones he was making consistently.
Wait, so you'll excuse that, but when Eric Decker's got a dude all over his back diving, he got to make that catch. What? No. I don't understand your rationale here.
Actually, I don't excuse it. He should come down with that.
Okay.
Yeah, he should.
You better say that.
I was disappointed. I just said it was a tough catch to make, but you should fucking make it. I mean, that's what what I expect.
You're paid to catch the ball.
You're paid to catch a goddamn football, okay? Do it.
Okay. That makes sense.
Do it. Do it. So I was a little disappointed with that, but then we come back the very next play. Chop chop goes up, and what I love about Russell Wilson's play.
Chop chop goes up.
Snags it out of the air. Chop chop scoring touchdowns. He's the other white meat.
Oh, God. I don't even know where to go with that.
There's nowhere
Too
to go.
Too many things going through my brain. I can't even pick one.
You have mainly pork chops is what's going through your brain.
Something.
Hogtied,
I guess I am.
One of the things that I love about love about Russell Wilson and the way that he plays is that he challenges our receivers to make a play. You know, he puts the ball up there and, you know, to where the guy's got to go up and make a play. Like, challenge your playmakers to do what they're paid to do.
Sometimes you do have to throw the ball up.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of that going around in the entire NFL on my team. And like you said, Russell Wilson challenges his receivers to do that.
Yeah.
And I think that's fair. You have to. That's why you have these guys on the team, so they can go up and make these plays for you.
Oh, one guy that I can't believe I've forgotten to mention him to this point is Dougie Fresh, Doug Baldwin. Huge game. He had something like seven third down conversions or something like that. Or he was, or maybe it was four. I don't know, but it was a bunch.
7-4. There's no difference.
Maybe he
there.
Had seven total catches. I don't know. I lost my first sheet that had
either way.
Stats
he
on
did
that.
Have
Fuck
a good
it.
Game.
But he had a great game.
I know what you mean.
Russell Wilson throws up that prayer down the sidelines, and Doug comes like just zip it in and catches that thing.
I couldn't believe that play had happened. I was like, first Giacomini doesn't get a personal foul penalty on that play, and now this shit happens. What the fuck is going on?
Yeah,
here?
But that was interesting because Doug Baldwin looked a lot like 2011 Doug Baldwin rather than 2012. Doug Baldwin, where he was a third down monster, and I was really impressed with that. Apparently, their chemistry, Russell's and Doug Baldwin's, has gotten a lot better.
Yeah, to where you can just throw it up and he'll be there.
And he'll just be there. Yeah, on a hope and a prayer. But
2011, 2012, and 2013 Doug Baldwin.
Yeah.
See what you got.
I like 2013 Doug Baldwin so far. But that
so
was
far,
one.
So good.
Golden also had a good game. He had a couple really nice runs after the catch. Did fine in punt returns as well, so that was also good to see.
Yeah, that is good because everybody's struggling with punt returns across the NFL right
yeah.
now.
And then also in the second half, and this was game-changing because the Panthers were driving down, and they were down at that point after the failed two-point conversion on the touchdown. They were down to 12-7, driving down. D'Angelo Williams has a flashback to last year's game, gets stripped by Earl. But
that was a hell of a play, a hell of a defensive play yeah. on both those.
And, you know, I talked a little bit about this when we watched the game. There's a difference between a lucky turnover, like the punt that went off the Carolina player and we ended up with the turnover there.
Oh, yeah. You know, one that you forced.
Yeah, and one that you forced. And that was a defensive play. That was a forced
fumble.
Well,
there were two defensive backs involved in that play. One was Earl
Sherman.
Thomas and Sherman. So
yeah.
Sherman was coming from the backside of him, right?
Sherman came in from the from basically the goal line as
so didn't
D'Angelo.
He? I thought and, he was the one who originally dislodged the ball.
He hit him like right on the ball, and I think it loosened it up a little bit. And then Earl was actually chasing down D'Angelo,
oh, okay,
and he came in and punched it out. Yeah,
I remember when I was watching that. It's just even if there wasn't contact made at first, one of those guys was going to dislodge that ball.
Yeah.
He was fumbling that ball no matter what, and you could see that one coming.
Right.
I mean, that's one of those where that's a takeaway. That's not a turnover. That's a takeaway.
It's a takeaway. So that was very impressive. So on a game where we couldn't run the ball worth a fuck, we relied on our defense a little bit, which is part of our style of play, and Russell Wilson came through and carried the team offensively to victory. And that's all you can ask for on the road in tough situation, first game of the year. Short of the penalties, we got to get that shit cleaned up. But
you will, that's a discipline thing. You guys will get the hang of that.
I think it should get better. So overall, Jared, a lot of people said it was a really ugly win. I thought it was one of those games that if you're going to be a playoff team, those are those type of games that you have to learn how to win, and they've learned how to finish, especially in that last 5.5 minutes where we just drove it right down the field. You know, the running game came to life a little bit on that last drive. We ran the clock out. That was that.
Well, and another thing that, you know, we can't actually fully understand what's going on. We're just watching the football game on television.
Yeah.
Is what do you think is harder to do? Play a game a mile high in the air, or play a game at 95 degrees with 60% humidity? I think both of those things factor in equally at that point.
I was just going to say yes.
And you guys didn't wear down, whereas a team like the Baltimore Ravens was completely gassed but midway through the third quarter.
That's
so,
a good point.
I mean, your grit during this game was actually one of the things that stood out more to me. And I've been waiting to talk about that because that's one of those things you won't see on TV where a visiting team from the Pacific Northwest at sea level with relatively low humidity. You know, Seattle's not a hot place.
No.
You know, it's been 70, 75 degrees over there for the past couple months.
Yeah.
And you go down to this kind of humidity with this kind of temperature, and to be able to play four quarters, you know, to your maximum capacity, I think was pretty impressive as far as your physical conditioning and not giving up.
And I thought we got stronger as the game went on even.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was
good
stuff.
It seemed like they wore down more than you guys did in that temperature.
I agree.
So
I agree.
I was impressed by that.
So, yeah, great win. When it's all said and done, like I said, they scored 12 points in tribute to the 12th man, so that's good.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's what you were trying to do.
So, yeah, that's exactly what they were doing.
I mean, we scored 49 in tribute to 49 random people.
To the 49ers?
And that will beat them, too.
Speaking of the fucking 49ers, guess who's coming up next
that's
week?
That's who you got.
Yep. And biggest game of the regular season, possibly, for the Seahawks right here. You know, the home game.
Up to this point, you know, when you guys play him again, that'll be the biggest game,
well, depending on
likely.
The standings, yeah, since the refs gave the Niners that game basically by giving them an extra third down play to score that touchdown.
Yeah, I think the Niners would have won even.
It was a 7-point game when
that.
It was all said and done. If that's a 4-point swing
well,
that the Niners
get there.
Well,
you can argue this either way. You know, that's
I'm
here
just saying,
there.
A lot of people have talked about the Niners and how impressive their win was. And yeah, Colin Kaepernick put up a lot of yards. But they only won by 7 points. Their defense did not look good. Their running game looked like shit.
Yeah, they only won by 7. You guys only won by 5.
Could have easily been 8. You know? It could have easily been 8, but instead of electing to kick the field goal, we kneeled down and we ran the clock out. And
well,
we also
yeah,
went for the 2-point conversion just to, you know, try to, because that's what the chart says to do. So,
well, all I'm saying is you can say that the Niners should have lost that game, but I mean,
no,
you
I don't
also
say
that they should have won it.
No. I'm not saying that they should have lost that game. What I'm saying is that win wasn't nearly as impressive as everybody's making it out to be. Yeah.
I think if you beat the Packers, that's impressive.
Yeah. At
that's
home.
Highly impressive.
It's at
when
home.
You can beat the Packers.
It's at home.
You know, it's Aaron Rodgers. That's impressive.
Yeah. It was.
Regardless of how you see it, it's an impressive win against the Pack.
It was an okay win. I just don't. Everybody
we'll disagree there.
Okay. I just everybody that says that this was the you know the biggest thing in the world. I just, in that the Hawks win was so shitty in that you know the Hawks are really going to struggle here against the Niners. I just completely disagree with that.
I think it's going to be. I think this is going to be a hell of a game. I think it's going to be a great game. I think it's going to be close.
Yeah, yeah,
we'll get to the picks later on.
I think it'll be close for sure, but I think we're definitely winning this son of a bitching game, and I'll tell you why. Number one, I was on my run yesterday, Jared, going down the river trail, and there's this dude in an excavator along the trail, and he sees me in my Hustle Like Russell t-shirt with my Hawks cap on, and he yells at me from the excavator, "Be a good game this Sunday." And I turn around, and he's like, "Yeah, man, good to see you in your Hawks gear, but... Man, I'm a Niners fan, but this is going to be a good game. I don't expect to win, though."
That's not a very dedicated fan.
Oh, no,
man.
He was.
You better expect to win every fucking game that you play.
No, he had a little
when
rationale.
When you got a good team, you better expect to win every fucking game.
He just has respect, as he ought to. You know, a couple of the big things that are going to turn the tide in this game for us. Cliff Averill, I believe, will be back for this game. It looks like Chris Clemens could be back for this game. That's going to increase our pass rush a ton.
Potentially, but if this is Chris Clemens' first live action, you can't expect him to be the Chris Clemens of old, you know?
Oh, no, but he is definitely an upgrade over an O'Brien Schofield still at that point.
He didn't play too bad, I didn't think.
No, Schofield had a sack, but yeah, you know, I think those are going to be big things, though, coming back.
Definitely.
And then also, we could see Jordan Hill come back in this game as well. I think all that is a big deal. Now, one thing that I do know is that Anquan Boldin is not going to have 13 fucking catches in this game a lot like he did in the last game, and I'll tell you exactly why. Number one, that Packers secondary, I didn't realize how depleted it was by injuries and new guys.
They're not good.
They were really bad. And so, you know, when you looked at the Niners' game plan, yeah, Kaepernick didn't run the ball because the Packers really wanted to contain that after getting torched in the playoffs.
They did the same thing that your guys' defensive line and Carolina's defensive line did against these running quarterbacks.
Right, and so then he just tore up a very, very, very suspect secondary to the point to where your best cover corner, Tremon Williams, can't even find Anquan Boldin on the most important play of the game, that last third down that the Packers needed a stop on. He couldn't find Anquan Boldin when he's coming across the formation. By the time the ball snapped, he's just getting over to cover him. He gets twisted around. First down. If you can't
find... But that's one of those things that happens in week one, like you said, with an injury-prone, depleted
there's
secondary.
There's no excuse if you're a number one corner on a team to not be able to find number 81 on the biggest play of the game. You just got to look around the field. There's no excuse.
I can't tell that because I don't know the play call. I don't know the situation at hand. Maybe, you know, maybe there was a communication issue. I mean, I think that there can be some excuses, but... Who knows what happened there?
Well,
I mean, it's tough
you.
To tell because we weren't on the field. We weren't in the huddle. We weren't on the sideline. It's tough to tell
He just looked confused. That's how it looked. It looked like he couldn't find the guy. I can promise you one thing. We're going to have a guy on 81 on every single play, and it's probably going to be Browner. Maybe it might be Sherman, but I think it's probably going to be Browner because that's old man strength against old man strength. Those guys are going to go at it. I think it's going to be an awesome, awesome matchup to watch, but I don't think he has 13 catches again. He may have five. You know, he may have a decent game, but he's not going to have 13 catches for 5,000 yards.
I think he has more than five just because he is a number one option, and Kaepernick really is that accurate when he throws the ball.
He's pretty accurate.
He's really fucking accurate.
Yeah, I mean...
He was last year. He is this year already, man. Kaepernick is impressive. You can't take anything away from him, and I think this 49ers team actually played pretty well. You know, as much as you want to take away from them...
No, I think they played...
I think they played really well, and
I'm not
I think
saying
they're going
to
give you guys a hell of a game.
I'm not saying they played bad. I'm just not saying that
they're trying to take a lot away from them.
No, what I'm trying to say is that there's so many people out there that are making them world fucking beaters because they beat the Packers at home opening day against a depleted secondary by 7 points when you shouldn't even have had that many because of a blown fucking call. I think people are putting way too much stock into that win than they ought to. It was a good win. They played well, but it wasn't exponentially better than the way that we played in that game. I think people are dogging us too much, and they're giving them a little too much credit. I think this is going to be a much closer game.
Why does that
game.
Even bother you? That shouldn't even bother
you.
It's
not. I'm just saying as far as the matchup goes and why I disagree with other people as to why the Niners are supposedly, you know, going to come in and mop up in this game.
I don't think they're going to mop up one bit. I do think they're going to win this game.
Yeah, because you're fucking wrong, and you're a dick.
Either way.
you're such an asshole.
Either way.
They are not winning this game. This is going to be one of those picks that's going to knock you down, and I get to change the cover photo on the next one.
We'll see.
Oh, for sure. I know it.
We'll see.
We will see, because we're winning this one. But, yeah, the matchup itself, I think as far as their defensive line goes, I think we could struggle in the run game a little bit again in this game, although Pete Carroll talked about our struggles in the run game, and he said it was kind of on him. Apparently, they were doing some kind of more advanced techniques in the blocking scheme, a little more than the guys could handle, and he said that was on him, and they're going to scale it back, and it made it difficult for Tom Cable to make the adjustments they needed to get the running game going. And the way Pete talked about the running game, it sounded like that he wasn't worried at all, and the way he said it, I'm not worried at all. We're going to run the ball.
That does sound nice, but against the 49ers defensive front, good luck. I don't think you guys are going to be able to run the ball any more effectively against the Niners than you did against Carolina. You didn't really run the ball that effectively against Carolina.
Wrong, and I'm going to tell you why.
Well, because can I finish?
Oh, I thought you were.
Not done.
I'm sorry.
Because I do believe that the 49ers front seven, if you will, is a lot better than Carolina's. I think they're more seasoned. I think their experience with you guys as an offense is a lot higher. They've seen you guys before. Mm-hmm. They know your schemes. They've seen Pete Carroll. They've seen your guys' run game. Mm-hmm. I think their front seven is better than Carolina's. If you want to get down to the X's and O's of it,
yes,
it makes total sense that you guys will not run the ball more effectively against the Niners than you will against Carolina. I mean, just let that register. If you think you're going to run the ball better against the Niners over Carolina, I'm not seeing the logic there.
Okay, well, I'm going to give you the logic as why we're going to run the ball better. You look at the two games last year, we didn't struggle to run the ball at all against the 49ers. We actually ran the ball really well.
That was last year.
Yeah,
they had more
same
experience
guys.
Against you guys.
Same guys. We're talking about the same guys. So the history shows that we run the ball just fine against the 49ers. We know what we need to do to make adjustments. I think that Carolina front seven is actually a pretty damn good front seven.
They are really good, but
they're
no 49ers.
No, they're not. They're not. But for whatever reason, we match up well with these guys in the run game. We're going to be just fine there.
Weren't they without Justin Smith that last game too?
Yeah. Yeah, they were.
Well, there you go. He's a big part of it. It's like having Elodie Nada out of the game.
Well,
you're going to run the ball a hell of a lot better against the Ravens with him out of the game.
We're going to see. I think we're going to be just fine in the run game. As far as the passing game goes, Russell destroyed them last year in the passing game. Look for him
to
have.
I think he's
going to
have another big game. I think that's a big difference for you guys offensively.
Yeah.
Is average was not going to contain anybody.
No.
So I think that's where your offense is really going to shine. Is they're not going to be able to contain Russell Wilson.
We're going
to
see more Sidney Rice in this game. He didn't play much, so that'll be good. Also, there's the added fuel to the fire of the Colin Kaepernick Russell Wilson bet that's on this game. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
Oh, this is pretty good.
I have not heard
this. So apparently during their Madden commercial shoot, they made a bet on this game between the two of them. Whoever loses has to shave off one of their eyebrows.
Oh, God, that's terrible. That's terrible.
That's awesome. I think
that's
fucking
bad
hilarious.
Bet. Why would you do that, man? Make it something else.
Because make it something else. That's a great bet. It's slightly
that's
embarrassing.
That's a frat boy bet. That's something you do in college when you're 18.
No way, man. That's a good bet. That's like a drink coconut milk if you win the picks bet. That's a good bet. That's a good bet.
That's ridiculous.
I love it.
But that's hilarious.
I love it.
I look forward to seeing one eyebrow. Wait till week three when one of these guys got one eyebrow. That's going to be pretty fucking funny.
It's going to be fucking hilarious.
Right. I approve.
I'm hoping to be there at this game. It's looking like that's probably going to happen for me.
Nice.
As long as we can get that Samuel job done in time.
I love playing devil's advocate against you. You hate me.
Yeah, because you're a fucking asshole sometimes. But
what I do.
Yeah, but that's what I need.
Somebody's got to look at the other side of this shit.
Look, all I know is that I need friends that call me out on my bullshit a little bit because I might be a little opinionated at times.
You're a little bit of a homer when it comes to your team, So.
Oh, no.
I got to be the one who's going to say, I don't think you'll run the ball better against the Niners than you will against Carolina. That's my job.
Yeah, I know that's your job, and you're wrong at your job sometimes, but that's okay. It's fine. Well, that's pretty much all I had to say about this game. I think at that point.
I got a question for you, though.
Oh, shoot. Okay.
No Christine Michael.
In the last game? No.
Yeah, did not even see him.
No.
Do you think it's just because, he's a rookie? Maybe there are certain things where he needs to be up to pace?
Oh, of course.
Are you just waiting? I mean, I know there's no hurry. I was just curious.
Yeah, no, I think a lot of that was a function of we weren't running the ball well anyways. We're going to get Marshawn his touches first and foremost. I mean, that's definitely the guy we want toting the rock.
Yep.
But, we didn't run the ball a ton, so there wasn't a lot of opportunities to go around.
And when Marshawn was in the game, they had 9 out of their 11 players keying just on him. I mean, you could tell.
Yeah.
They were not going to let him beat them.
Yeah, and Turpin had a nice run, too, and I think Turpin
played well.
Turpin's the more polished back out of him and Michael. Michael is definitely the more explosive back.
Yeah.
Look to see more of him as the season progresses.
Mid-season, I was going to say maybe week 8, you'll probably see a lot more of him.
Yeah, and that's kind of by design.
Yep.
I don't know. I don't.
I was just curious.
Yeah, I don't think you see a lot of him in this game, though.
Okay.
Oh, I mean, Derek Coleman also had a really big game on the last one.
He's going to be really effective, I think. He's going to be this sleeper guy where if you have a lot of players on the field, the defenses are going to look at, okay, we got Sidney Rice. Eventually, we'll have Percy Harvin out here. We got Marshawn Lynch. Maybe you run him out there with Marshawn Lynch.
Yes.
He's the forgotten guy, I think. And he's going to be a big-time X factor in some of these big third down plays.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he's going to be huge for you guys on third down.
Yeah, he was in this game. So, and I look for him to have another good game. He's very consistent. He's a good guy. So
yeah, I'm sure he'll have a great game and a loss.
Score predictions.
Oh, big time.
Yeah, because you're wrong on this, so I want to hear it first.
I think given the way the defensive lines are now playing Colin Kaepernick, Cam Newton, Russell Wilson, I think this game's going to be 17-14 San Francisco.
Interesting. We're not.
And I don't think, don't get me wrong here, I don't think San Francisco is a better team. I really don't. I think you guys have more talent. This is basically my upset pick, and I think for some fucking weird reason, San Francisco is going to come in and win this game, and I think that if San Francisco does win this game, this is detrimental to the rest of San Francisco's season, because in the second time you guys meet, you won't lose that game.
No.
I mean, I think later on in the season when you guys face them again, there's no way in hell that San Francisco beats you. I just think by some random chance they're going to win this game.
It's not dire if we lose this game, but we're going to win this game anyways. And it's
honestly,
gonna...
this puts a chip on your guys' shoulder if you do.
True. But I want Russell Wilson to have all his eyebrows for the season. And
because that shit won't grow back fast.
No. It really won't.
Week 8, he's still going to look like a dipshit.
Yeah, oh, it's going to be that's a fun bet.
So you know, I'm not, don't think I'm hating on the Seahawks. I like the Seahawks. I think they're a very talented
team.
You're
an asshole.
I just think this is one of those weird games that, you know, maybe San Francisco comes in and wins.
Okay. All right. Well, the score is going to be 21-17 Hawks.
Or 17-14 Niners.
Because it won't. And
it kills me to pick the Niners, but I'm going with my gut here. I hate the 49ers. Yeah.
Well,
I
there's
the
more
Niners.
Nerve endings in your gut than your brain. So,
I'm going with it.
That may or may not be true. Don't look it up.
Look it up. Call them out.
That's my bold prediction at that point. 21-17. Hoping to be there at the game, scream my nuts off. It's going to be good fun.
It'll be a hell of a game to watch regardless. Yeah. Even if it's a defensive battle, offensive, either way, it's going to be a good game.
Yeah. So with that said, I think we're going to wrap up the chicken scratch segment here. Up next.
Come back with our picks.
Yeah, the NFL segment with our picks and a little bit of NFL analysis. We know shit, so stay tuned for that. All right, folks. Be right back. Welcome back, folks. It's time for the NFL pick segment. Jared and I were just discussing here over the break that we're also going to introduce our Fast and Furious top five.
Yeah, I think this is probably going to change week to week as we see teams play better teams and who matches up and stuff.
Oh, without question.
Yeah, we're definitely going to give you our top five rankings. And maybe if you guys are turning in picks to us, maybe you should give us your top five.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Submit anything. Comments you want,
so,
picks. Power rankings, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, on that form that I'll have on the Google Forms on the A Flock of Donkeys on Facebook, D-O-N-K-I-E-S, look it up there. I will also have, and it'll be optional, a section where you can type in your top five.
That'd be perfect.
Yeah, so that'll be easy to do. So submit your top five. So, Jared, we actually have a consensus number one in the picks here, or as far as the power rankings go.
And it's for a good reason, I think, you know, just because... Yeah, you know, we both picked the Denver Broncos, and I think that's just because we are more polished than almost any other team in the NFL right now. Our communication is up there. Peyton Manning's got his team playing really well. You know, John Fox, Jack Del Rio. We have guys who just have a team playing disciplined football.
You can make an argument for any of the top three to be number one, I think.
Especially throughout the season. Just given the depth and the talent on these rosters.
Of course. I think just after week one, the most impressive win out of my top three teams was the way that Denver Broncos beat down the Baltimore Ravens.
Me too.
So that
consensus. Okay.
Consensus. Number two pick. This is where we deviate a little bit. I have the Seahawks of Seattle. They're pretty awesome. I don't know if you noticed.
Yeah, they're pretty awesome. I got the Niners ranked above them.
Yeah,
this is another one of those things where you know, the top three throughout the season could rotate. Yeah, except for me, I'm going to put the Broncos number one every year. Let's just face it. Broncos are going to be number one.
I don't know. You could go on a four-game skid. You don't know.
But, I mean, these next two spots between the Niners and the Seahawks, you know, pick one. And I think we were talking about earlier, the talent and the depth on these rosters is pretty much interchangeable. We all have these top three teams, you know, whatever order you want to put them on, Broncos, Niners, Seahawks, they have so much talent. I think these are easily, I don't even think it's arguable.
No, I think these are
easily the top three teams in the NFL.
Yeah, I mean, that's the tier.
Yep.
You know,
and anywhere below that,
it's question marks.
It's questionable.
It's question marks.
But we actually have, in our 4 and 5 spots, the same teams, just in different spots.
Yeah, a lot like our 2 and 3, because I have the Niners as the number three team.
Yep.
Yeah, you have the second best team in the league in our power rankings at number three, but that's, you know, that's on you.
You can word that however you want to. That was impressive wording. I didn't know where you were going. I was just like, oh, that makes sense. Fucker.
I know. I just pulled the shit out of my ass. So, yeah.
So who you got at number four?
Number four. I think this is where it gets intriguing. I have the New England Patriots with Tom Patriot
Tom
and the Brady's.
Tom Patriot and the Brady's. All right.
Yeah. They didn't look great against the Bills, but home opener for the Bills on the road. Rah,
but they
rah.
Lost to Arizona last year in the beginning of the season too.
Yeah, they get better as the year goes on every year. And you know, it's Tom fucking Brady.
In New England, I mean, they're definitely. I have them ranked 5th on my power ranking, but they're not a physical team,
nope.
And they have a defense that's still working on things. They're young, so they're getting better. You know, they're a top 5 team in the NFL right now.
Yeah. So yeah, number four for me.
My number four team is the New Orleans Saints.
Ah, so you're coming to me on this New Orleans thing.
To your side because I thought their defense, they were last in the NFL in defense by a long shot.
Right.
And I thought they were going to be horrible.
Well, you can't get worse.
But, you know, they're a Bob Ryan defense now.
Yeah.
Which Brandon pointed out to me. I was like, okay. And like you said, man, like you've been saying for weeks, the Sean Payton effect. And they played well. New Orleans played really well.
Yeah.
And that's why I have them above New England, because I think New England's got some things to work on. They're a less physical team. But, man, New Orleans was pretty impressive.
Well, see, and then I had New Orleans as my number five.
Yeah.
Just for all those exact reasons. You know, the Sean Payton effect, it was
evident. And a Bob Ryan defense, I think it makes them better. Even if they don't have as much talent, the scheme is going to be better.
I like how you give him the name Bob Ryan instead of Rob.
Oh. Oh, whatever.
One of the Ryans.
Fuck, yeah. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
So
probably a little too boisterous and doesn't know enough.
So I mean, that's where it is to me. New Orleans really impressed me, so I'll put them at number five.
You know, I had flirted with putting Philly up there kind of high after that. That was an interesting display by
them. I'm gonna give them a few weeks.
Okay. We'll talk a little bit about Philly here as we go through the picks. So
all right. So.
Onto the picks.
Should
so
we move on? Yeah,
week
again.
Two. So let's recap week one a little bit. Seven of us tied for first with 11 wins. I would rattle them off, but I didn't write them down. So fuck it. If you want to know, I put it on the Facebook page. You can look it up there.
Make sure you submit your picks this week too.
Yeah.
This is an accumulative thing. We're gonna see who wins this at the end of the year too. So you know, if a lot of us tie every week, even for the first couple weeks, it's gonna eventually start to separate out a little bit.
Keep coming with me on top. So
don't
so
on top of what?
On top of the Jared, fuck I gotta I'm on say. Top of everything. Okay. I'm king of the world.
I don't even know where to go with that.
Yeah, places. All right. All right.
Okay, so let's go with our first matchup.
Yeah.
Jets in New England.
In New England.
In New England.
Well.
Not even close to me. I mean, this is fucking New England, man. No way are the Jets going to pull off another win.
Look, the Jets are 1-0 based on one of the more bullshit calls I've seen in my entire life.
That was a terrible call.
Dude
was still in bounds.
So Geno Smith is scrambling, you know, on that last play. Levante David comes in and hits him while Geno, he put his left foot down. He's running with his right foot. The left foot comes up. The right foot is not even out of bounds yet. It has not set down.
And they had the sideline camera going down the sidelines, and his whole entire body was still physically in bounds.
Right. And when you're a defensive player and you're trying to prevent a last-second field goal to BJ, you gotta push
the
guy out of bounds.
You go after the guy, especially when the speed of the game is this fast. Horrible call.
Shame on you, refs. That was shitty.
Yep. Jets should be 0-1.
Yeah. And my pick should be one greater because I had Tampa in that game. It was a bunch
so
of
did
crap.
I, though.
I know, but it's still a bunch of crap.
So New England.
Yeah, New England.
That game. All right. Game two on the list. St. Louis in Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
In Atlanta.
See, if this were in St. Louis, I'd go St. Louis.
I got Atlanta in this game.
Yeah, I'm taking Atlanta in this game as much as it pains me to take Atlanta here.
I just didn't see much out of St. Louis this first week.
Well, their defensive line played really well, but then again, that might just be a function of going against the ragtag group that is the Arizona Cardinals offensive line.
I just don't think Sam Bradford's going to get you a lot of wins. He's not going to win you games.
Yeah,
especially in Atlanta. That's a hostile
environment. See, if it weren't in Atlanta, and that's the difference to me, because I don't think that Atlanta offensive line is all that great. You saw New Orleans run roughshod over them.
Yeah.
So,
and Steven Jackson also had a really good game. And my theory on this is Steven Jackson, he's going to play really, really well for about 3 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks. I think he's found another win, but he's still at that age where it's still falling off for him, I think. I love Steven Jackson. I like him as a player. I think he's a very loyal player also.
Yeah.
But, man, I saw him make some cuts. I saw him outrun people. I just don't think it's going to last.
On one run. Two. I went back and rewatched
There were two runs that he actually outran some people.
Okay.
So
I'm going to
give him a few games.
But the majority of them were 3 yards in a cloud of dust, like usual, with Steven Jackson. So, but with that said,
I think a lot of teams can relate to that in the first week.
Yeah. I don't think that St. Louis's corners can keep up with the weapons that Atlanta has.
Nope.
And I don't see Atlanta going 0-2.
No, definitely not.
So Atlanta at home.
Okay. So now we have Carolina in Buffalo.
Okay. So my respect level for Carolina went up a little bit after the Hawks
game. Big time,
game.
Especially with their defensive front seven.
Yep. Until they start getting injured.
I don't know if that Buffalo defense can really contain Cam Newton like you guys did also.
I don't believe in it.
So I'm going with Carolina.
I am too. Okay. So, yeah, Carolina on that.
All right. So now we have Minnesota in Chicago. I think Christian Ponder is as bad as advertised. I think he's just putrid. Adrian Peterson can't win you games.
Capital P, capital U, capital Trid. He's terrible.
And, you know, I love Adrian Peterson. I like watching him run.
First,
but, you know, he had that 78-yard run for a touchdown. He ended up with 86 yards on 15 carries.
I didn't realize that.
Yeah, it's big time.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, aside from that one
two
run
TDs
and that
though.
Impressive second touchdown run,
yeah.
That was good. But, man, he didn't do shit the rest of the game. I think Chicago wins this at Soldier Field.
It's tough to win just with a running back.
Yeah, you can't do that. It's not 1971.
And the Bears, they threw the ball around. They looked decent.
I don't know if it's just a matter of him being a new coach and people haven't seen him. They don't have the model how to defend him yet. But, you know, I just think Chicago is going to win this game.
You know, Chicago fucks me every time I don't pick them. Chicago is that team.
They've been doing this for 2 years to me.
And then I'll pick them and they'll lose. Fucking Chicago, man. This team fucks me hard.
They better not lose this game.
Like, no lube over a barrel just fucks me. But I'm going with Chicago.
I'm going with Chicago.
Chicago.
So now we got the Redskins in Green Bay. I'm going with Green Bay.
You are. I hadn't marked my pick down on this because this is the one that I was thinking the most about.
Washington's got a lot of work to do, man.
I think that Washington's going to come back here, and they're actually going to play pretty well. I know that Green Bay struggles with running quarterbacks, and if they play that same game plan that they did against Colin Kaepernick, I tell you what, RG3 is going to carve them the fuck up.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
I think that the Washington defense, you know, against that Philly offense was exposed a little bit, but that was a weird. We'll get more to Philly in a bit, but that's something that you've never seen before, and so you're trying to defend something that nobody's ever seen. I think they made him look a little worse than they are. I think they have Brian Kerrigan back. I think they have Brian Arakpo back. I think that
they have, what was it, like 3 or 4 of their starters, their big-time starters coming off of serious knee injuries?
And played pretty well, actually. But Arakpo wasn't a knee injury. He was a torn pec. So,
My issue with Washington is just, I mean, yeah, you could pick him. That's fine. But RG3 is not a polished pocket passer.
Not yet.
And you say the running quarterback, they have got to not let him run. He took so many shots. It's only a matter of time before he's getting injured again.
Yeah.
I saw an offensive line that struggled in pass protection. They were good run. I think Washington's only hope in this game is to run the ball, but I didn't see shit out of them the entire game that gives me a reason to believe that they're going to go into Lambeau and beat Aaron Rodgers in front of that crowd. There is no way in hell Washington wins this game. They're calling deep routes, deep passing routes, when he's got no time to throw the ball. He's off target on simple 10-yard out routes. I mean, RG3's got
rust.
Well, of course it is. But, you know, everybody else has had 3 preseason games.
Yeah.
There's no way in hell he's going to be up to speed, especially against the pass rush of the Green Bay Packers.
Well, those are all the reasons, Jared, and they're very logical, and I'm still going to Washington. Yeah. I don't know. This is just one of those where, like, they shouldn't win, but they're gonna, and it's good. And Green Bay is.
I will be happy to take the lead come that game.
Green Bay, well, you're gonna lose it on the Seattle game, so whatever.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Washington over to Green Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, I highlighted.
I know you marked the wrong fucking pick, dude. I'm not picking Minnesota.
Might as well. This pick's just as dumb.
Hey,
fucking stupid.
Color me stupid, but
you're gonna be wrong on Green Bay all year long.
Yeah,
you pick Green Bay against the Niners.
Dude, the NFC North is going to fuck me all year probably, huh? Yeah.
Don't get fucked. So now, let's move on.
Okay.
Okay, we got Miami and Indy. I'm going with Miami because I see an Indy team that struggled.
Yeah.
And you've been saying this since last year that they're, you know, they're not riding the Chuck Strong thing. They're not as good a team as everybody thought they were. They're not that 11-5 team.
Right. Andrew Luck had a good game, though, against Oakland.
Yeah, sure.
They came out with a win. This is their home opener.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's going to be a lot of emotion there. I think that Miami, while they are my pick to win the AFC East, I don't believe that they're going to come in and win this game on the road. I just see Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck is greater than Ryan Tannehill. I mean, that's what it boils down
sure.
to me.
But, I mean, I think Miami's defense is better. I think their offensive weapons are better other than Indianapolis. You know, I know Reggie Wayne's still playing pretty well,
mm-hmm.
but,
yeah,
that's it.
True.
That'll be an interesting game. I think I'm really looking forward to seeing
how it
turns
out. I think it's going to be a really close game.
Yeah,
And the reason I'm going Indianapolis is because they're at home.
Okay.
Honestly, that's the whole deal.
That makes sense. All right. So now we got Dallas and Kansas City.
Oh, boy. This is an easy pick to me, to be honest.
I don't think Dallas can win outside at Arrowhead Stadium.
Nope.
That's all. And now with Andy Reid and Alex Smith, I know they played Jacksonville last week.
Whatever.
But
win's a win.
A win is a win.
It's against an
NFL football team.
They gave up 2 points.
Yeah. So I think Kansas City is much as improved. And I know a lot of Bronco fans are going to hate me picking AFC West teams. But to be honest with you, I hope the AFC West starts finally winning so it legitimizes our division.
Sure.
And so I think they win this game. I think Kansas City's gotten better. And they beat Dallas.
They do.
You know, especially, we don't know if Tony Romo, he was having x-rays. I haven't heard the latest on him yet.
He said he's going to play.
Tony Romo play, Tony Romo don't play.
That's exactly right.
Okay.
There's no percentages. He'll play
100% fucker.
Even if he's not. Yeah.
But, I mean, you still have Miles Austin and Dez Bryant who didn't do shit. And I think,
never,
the Chiefs secondary is a lot better than the Cowboys receivers. To be honest.
Oh, I agree. So, yeah, the KC secondary is actually pretty decent.
I thought I was going to struggle with this pick more when I first read it, and I was like, when you really look at the X's and O's, I think Kansas City wins this game.
I don't think Dallas travels all that well anyway. So.
They don't do anything all that well.
No, they really don't.
So now we got San Diego and Philadelphia.
This, again, ended up being a more easy pick for me just because, holy balls, Chip Kelly, thank you for bringing one of the more entertaining forms of football to the NFL.
It was pretty entertaining.
Wow. But then you also
for
saw
a little while.
Then you also saw the downside to it. That game lasted for fucking ever. And
yep.
Washington actually made it close when it came down to the end of it because there was that many more possessions because the offense was – I mean, what they would – I think that first drive, I think they had it for like 3 minutes and went like 89 yards in 10 plays or something. I'm making up numbers, but it was something along those lines.
Yeah, it was close to that. And this fast-paced offense works, but – when you're that far ahead, there comes a time to slow the goddamn ball down. And I think that Chip Kelly's experience in the NFL, he'll realize this. You know, you don't have this Oregon team where you can go out and score 60 points a game and put your foot on the metal. There's more strategy in the NFL than there is in college. So I just think San Diego blew another big lead, which kind of I like.
I know you secretly like it. You love watching
Philip
Rivers lose.
Oh, God. You know, I know he's a good quarterback, but God, he gets so fired up in the first half like they're going to win the game for sure, and then they lose, and he's hanging his head, and it's so great. But I think Philly beats San Diego because San Diego's going to be in shambles after another gut-wrenching loss. Yeah, it's in Philly.
And the Philly defense actually looked really great, you know, creating turnovers and those sort of things.
A lot better than I thought they were going to play coming out of the game.
Sure. But I don't know. Yo, this Chip Kelly offense, to me, it's a little like the Wildcat. Do you remember when the Dolphins sprung the Wildcat on the Patriots?
And they didn't know how to handle it.
And they had no fucking clue how to deal with it. I feel that's a lot how Washington was against this Chip Kelly offense.
I think that's a really good analogy, actually.
Because you saw there were points in the game where I think Haslett figured it out a little bit where they were bringing, a lot of outside pressure from the linebackers, and Vic was getting fucking rocked in that game.
He took
some goddamn hits.
LeSean McCoy sure was fun to watch.
Holy cow.
That dude, he's like having him on Madden.
Shady is legit.
Wow, he's impressive.
He's got to be a top five back in this league. He's got
to
be in that
discussion. I mean, there hasn't been a lot of people, you know, there'll never be another Barry Sanders, and I hate to even put him in the same sentence, but he's maybe one of the closer ones.
Stylistically,
yeah.
I can see that.
He's just so shifty, and he sees holes really well.
Yeah.
Couldn't even make it through that.
Yeah.
But I think LeSean McCoy is just exciting to watch. But, I mean, how long do you think until the NFL maybe figures out how to slow down this college-style offense?
I feel like it's week 8. Because,
okay.
although, you know, it was...
I'd have to look at their schedule to see the defensive masterminds that are coming. I don't know. I think it's going to be week 4 or 5.
Oh, okay.
When people start to slow it down a little bit.
Yeah, we're gonna find out.
And we'll see how long Vic lasts, because like you said, he took some hits, man.
Yeah, but he looked good, though.
He did, but can Nick Foles run this kind of offense?
I don't know if he has a decision-making ability.
Or the athletic ability.
Well, then that minor detail.
So, but in this game, yeah, Philly over San Diego.
Okay, cool.
All right, so Cleveland in Baltimore.
Yeah.
We differ on this one. I'm going Baltimore because I don't think they're as bad as everybody thinks. I think Baltimore ran into a stellar team in week one, and they just weren't ready for it because they got a lot of new starters. And I don't – Brandon Whedon threw, what, four picks or three picks or some shit? He just looked like Brandon Whedon, man. I mean, Baltimore's going to win this game at home.
I'm picking Cleveland in this game because – I think Cleveland is better than advertised. I think that
what part of them is better than advertised? You can't win with a quarterback that sucks that hard. You can't.
Look,
Brandon Weed's bad. He's got no cannon. No cannon.
Oh, he's got a really strong arm. Eh. He just doesn't always make the best decision. A couple of those picks were bad, hard luck. I think it's one of those things where Brandon Whedon comes in, he plays a lot better. Look, the Baltimore Ravens are a team on the decline, and they're going to continue to be on the decline, and people need to wake up to this.
I don't think they're on the decline. I think they've been drafting well. I think Ozzie Newsome has done a good job, and I think these young players are only going to continue to get better. And they do not lose at their home opener after a devastating loss to the Broncos to the Cleveland Browns.
Okay, so there's always those few wins that pop up throughout the week where you're like, how the fuck did that happen?
This ain't one of them.
Kind of like the Jets over Tampa. You're like, how the fuck does that happen? There was a few of those from last week. So this is my how the fuck did that happen pick.
Okay. I'm going to be like, I knew that. That's my reaction to this game after it's over.
So you got to, sometimes you just got to, you know, take
sometimes you got to pick the 49ers over the Seahawks.
Yeah,
all right. So next game, we got Tennessee in Houston. Houston wins this game. Houston in that second half, they showed me that they're going to be a great regular season team again.
Yeah.
Regular season. Don't overshadow the fact
that
it's
a regular season. Who was it the Tennessee beat last week? Oh, Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh's in shambles.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, you know, I think you had Pittsburgh last in that division in your picks, and I had Baltimore last. That could easily be flip-flop because we had the other team as the number two
right.
You know, on that flip-flop. Holy nuggets, Pittsburgh looked fucking shitty.
Yeah. I mean, Houston's not going to lose to Tennessee at home.
No.
In their opener.
Houston.
J.J. Watt still played well. Okay.
Book it.
Moving on. We differ on this one.
Yeah.
Detroit and Arizona. So last week in the game, I feel like Detroit did everything they possibly could to try to lose that game.
Well, yeah. It's a Jim Schwartz team.
I think Arizona at home is going to beat them.
Okay, here's the thing. You look at this matchup, and the strength of the Detroit Lions is their defensive line, correct?
Yeah, we'll get into my opinion on Ndamukong Suh at this point.
Well, he's a dirty player.
Fuck.
He's a dirty, dirty player.
I think you're right. The strength is their defensive line, though.
I think he's a fine guy off the field. I think something happens when his cleats touch the turf and he like turns into like, you know, Mr. Hyde, man. Like it's
Mr. Dipshit.
Yeah. And so he's going to do something dirty at some point for sure, but that Arizona offensive line is every bit as bad as advertised. Every time, because we had that game on as we were watching the Green Bay-San Francisco game, the Arizona game.
Carson Palmer was flat on his
back. He was on his back every fucking time I looked up. He's going to continue to be on his back
and
every
time. And you are going to continue to not be able to say his name.
Carson Palmer.
Guy, you struggle. You even said Parson Palmer, I think, at one point or some shit.
I don't know. Fuck Carson Palmer.
This is one of those games I just think Arizona is going to beat Detroit, man.
Well,
I just think they're
going to. Arizona, they didn't do shit in that game. They move the ball between the 20s just like we've talked about.
I think Fitz is going to play well. Who else they got? Malcolm Floyd is going to
play well.
I think Patrick Peterson is going to play well. The Honey Badger somehow played well.
Dude, he played well all preseason. He could be good, Jared.
I know. I think I'm wrong.
As much as we hate the Honey Badger and the Arizona Cardinals, or at least I do, he could be good.
I think Arizona is it's going to be one of those games where they probably get like a return for a touchdown, maybe an interception for a touchdown. They just win this game.
Okay. All right. Well, Detroit's winning.
All right. Moving on. New Orleans and Tampa Bay.
Yeah, this was easy.
Yeah, New Orleans.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
Right. Josh Freeman, your career in the next 4 weeks
Done.
Is about to be decided.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look good.
No.
And
if you can't beat the Jets in week one, I know they lost because of a penalty, but it shouldn't have been that close.
It should have never been that close.
You should have a good running game, and you should be able to feed off of that.
You would think.
And he doesn't.
Yep.
Still won't.
Okay.
So the toilet bowl, Jacksonville and Oakland. The only reason I'm going with Oakland is because they're at home.
It's in the toilet bowl, literally, you know, the Coliseum, or what do they call that thing? in Oakland.
The death pit?
Yeah, the death pit where you get shivved.
And, God.
Yeah, yeah.
End up with hepatitis?
Where Raider babies are born in a dumpster. Oh,
man, that's just going to be a shitty game. It's going to end up like maybe 10-3.
Yeah, yeah. But
I think Terrell Pryor will maybe get him a touchdown.
I think he might get him 2 touchdowns. Terrell Pryor actually looked pretty damn good in that game. You got to give Terrell Pryor a little credit.
Some of that.
A little credit. And so, yeah.
Against a mediocre D.
I'm taking Oakland in a toilet bowl.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Same there. So, we've talked about Denver a lot on this podcast, so I got them over the Giants.
Agreed.
Okay.
Yep.
Now, we've also talked about this game. I got San Fran over Seattle just because I think it's going to be 17-14. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, I've got Seattle in this game. I know you have San Fran just because you're a dickhead. I got it.
Okay. Now, we got Pittsburgh in Cincinnati.
Is this the Monday night game?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I wish I would have gotten a good game.
You and me both.
But Cincinnati, they did not look bad against the Bears. They actually played
pretty
didn't. Well.
They played all right.
A.J. Green was a fucking monster in
he
that game.
He is a monster. Pittsburgh just doesn't have anything left. You know,
they're done.
They just don't have it.
They're
you know,
done.
Ben can only get you so much.
Polamalu can only get you so much now.
When you don't even have a run game anymore.
They lost Harrison in free agency. I think he's actually in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he is in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
It's a big game for
them.
Yeah,
big revenge game.
They're not going to lose this game. Cincinnati's not going to lose this at home on Monday night.
No fucking way. So take that one to the bank. You know, if I were making suicide picks for this week, I'd pick Cincinnati. Although fucking Tampa fucked me on my suicide pick in our friends pool.
I would take Oakland in the suicide one. Just because when else are you going to be able to use Oakland as a suicide pick? Never.
See, that's how
not all year.
That's exactly how I felt against with Tampa going up against the New York Jets.
And now you're out.
And now I'm out. I'm out on the suicide.
Oh, man.
On a shitty fucking call. And skinny Geno Smith.
Don't ever pick Josh Freeman.
It wasn't even Josh Freeman's fault.
Learn it.
Okay. Book it. Yeah.
But those are the picks. Make sure you get yours in.
Yeah, please do. Again, that's on Facebook at A Flock of Donkeys, D-O-N-K-I-E-S. That's a Canadian spelling. You should know that by now.
Yep.
But I'm just really proud that I can rattle those off after a couple beers.
That's pretty good.
I feel pretty good about it. You can also, call in. Give us your opinions about the NFL, maybe even your top five. That's 406-823-0307. Get that done. You guys have really stepped up and, interacted with the show a lot more.
Yeah, we like it. This bantering and the betting, it's all good stuff.
Man. Yeah.
It's all good stuff, especially come wintertime when none of us, when during the week and it's fucking cold and snowing and shit. Sometimes we like this stuff. It gives you something to do.
Sometimes. We always do. All right.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
All right, folks. So with that said, I think there's only one other thing to say, whether it's in John Schneider or John Elway.
In John's we trust.